Good morning, everyone. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. I'm sorry, but as a liberal Democrat, I sometimes just get a chuckle when the local Republican Party is in chaos. So, Mr. Mayor, you'll excuse me if I chuckle a bit.
Go right ahead.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. No. Hey, Mayor Mike Trope, my guest today on the Mary Griffith Show, sponsored by Refreshment Services, Pepsi, and Harvest Ridge Coffee. And we've got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about the water bill situation. The council's putting it off. A lot of people would say, wow, this is something to tackle in a kind of an election year, although I guess the election's not really for a year, but everybody's talking about it. What's the holdup? I mean, obviously it's not that people don't think we need the money, but is this the most fair and accurate way to collect the money? Talk about that with people.
I think overall it's another example of what I've found in my 3 years where the city has done a poor job in keeping up and making improvements in our infrastructure. And so the water rate increase is, there's no argument. Do we need to make the improvements to the water treatment plant? The last major enhancement to the plant was in 1957, okay? When we went earlier this last 12 months and we had a countywide risk mitigation study, from the city's perspective, the risk that we have if we had a failure in our water treatment plant is our number one priority, okay? Engineering, our public works director have worked out a solution, which is actually doesn't mean that we have to replace our water treatment plant, but we're in about a $10, $11 million improvement that will protect that. I can't imagine having to tell the public we had a failure in the water treatment plant and we're no longer going to be able to provide safe drinking water, okay? So the need is there, and it's an enterprise fund, which is, again, a state-regulated issue. That what an enterprise fund basically means, the users of the service need to pay for the service, okay? And so we did have a rate increase a couple years ago, but that was really for operational cost, for the chemicals, the cost of operating and maintaining the day-in, day-out treatment facility. Here, this increase, we're looking at the need to make a significant improvement so our water treatment plant should be able to continue to operate, barring some major, you know, earthquake or catastrophic event, we should be able to operate fine for the next, you know, 40 years.
Okay. Obviously, you know, this is the kind of thing I've heard just talk around town, especially from older people. Well, I just can't afford $14 more a month. I just can't afford $14 a month. I'm on a fixed income and, you know, this and that. I think it's hard to get people to buy in. I mean, we're so used to turning on the tap and having clean water be there.
Yep.
You know, how'd you like to be the mayor of Baltimore, Maryland? Oh. People are used to commuting across a bridge that may not be rebuilt.
Yep.
The earliest rebuild could be 3 years. They're talking it might take 5 years.
Sure.
Can you imagine
if
we would lose our water treatment plant? So
Nobody
likes to think about these things until they happen. Then everybody always calls around and goes, well, Mr. Mayor, what would you do if the Quincy Bridge went down? What would you do if this? What would you do if that?
Right.
And if you say, well, we've got a plan in place to protect that, but it's going to take some money, people, I'm not paying for that.
Right. No, it's always a tough issue, and I think that's with all the elected office holders, myself, the aldermen that have to vote on this, we take it very seriously, okay? Because, again, we're spending the taxpayers' money, but this is an area that there's not a there's no discussion that's coming out of the aldermen that we don't need to do this. Okay, so that's the good thing about what's happened. Everybody recognizes that this is a serious issue and it needs to be addressed. The question is, how does it get funded? Now, we've just recently moved as part of our budget process, We had some available dollars, and we're limited that we can't just keep available dollars. If we have dollars, we should allocate it toward reducing debt or put it into infrastructure. That's what the previous councils have established. So based on what I see with our streets and the other infrastructure projects, I worked with our department heads to say, gee, there's no sense in paying down debt that's, you know, 0 or 2% cost when we're earning 5%. I'm like, look, I think the biggest priority is to move it into infrastructure. Let's see if we can do more streets, roads, curbs and sidewalks. And that's what we did. Now, we didn't put anything allocated for the water treatment plant because, again, that's an enterprise fund. And the council has said, just follow the ordinances, which we are. Now, they are looking at, you know, amending that or making a change, which is their prerogative. But all you're doing is kicking the ball in the future for 2 or 3 years. You're not fixing the problem.
Tell me about this $14 fee, because I admit I'm not as well educated as someone like Scott Hardy, who goes to the city council meeting, hears this all the time talked about. When this older lady that was talking to me there goes, I just can't afford that $14. Is it across the board $14? No, it's based on usage. Okay.
Yeah, and so it's based on usage. So let's say the minimum user, okay, and that is somebody that's probably paying on average around $25 a month now. That would be the average user. In year one, the increase would go up $4.82. The second year, the minimum user would go up to $5.40. So at the end of this two-year rate change, the minimum user's fee would be $35 a month, okay?
So it's not $14 across the board, because this lady goes, I only pay $15 now, or
right,
something like
yeah,
that.
So she would so, not.
So she would not get a $14
yeah,
but this is what people hear. This is
correct.
Like, you know, welcome to my world. No
right.
matter what you report, it's what people
right.
hear.
Well, the average family is currently paying $60.82, okay? And so their rate would increase in year one by $7.69 is what the estimate is. And the second year, it would go up another $6.45. When you look at that, and we go to the grocery
store. Per month.
Right. We go to the grocery store. You know, we buy gas in our vehicles, you know, our utility bills, et cetera. So we're experiencing the same issues that the public does. Okay. We're not exempt from all of that. So we try to be conservative as to what these increases are going to do. The good news, when you take a look at even with those increases, Quincy would still have the lowest water rate of anyone in the tri-state region. Okay? So, and as one of the aldermen pointed out, gee, if we have this catastrophic failure now, one of the solutions is that we're going to sell the water treatment facility. And the city looked at that a couple times in the past. Well, I'm telling you, if that happens, your water rates are going to more than double, okay? Because they've already told us that.
It's a for-profit enterprise at that point rather than the city running it.
I think all things considered, this is a reasonable proposal. And we're looking at some other things. We've had some other opportunities. We're in the very early stages of seeing what other utility assistance we could have, especially for our lowest income people. And I'm hopeful that we're going to be able to announce some other savings that we're going to make available to that population here in the next, you know, 6 weeks.
This is what's always the problem, and that's why I so enjoy you coming on, Mayor Trope, because people hear my water bill's going to go up $14 in 2 years per month. And most of those people that hear that and are really frightened by that aren't really affected by that. They're single, older widows
sure.
who are living alone and, you know, probably,
yeah.
you know, almost have to have a minimum fee. When I lived in Hannibal, Missouri, I had a minimum fee. In other words, they couldn't charge you any less because it cost them to send the bill out. So, I mean, the usage by most people is pretty small. But for some people, you know, it is anytime you increase the cost of something, it's there. But this is a risk that the city has the money for now to help mitigate some of it. The people that use it can pay based on their usage. You can always try to be more conservative about your water usage, and that will help the problem.
Yes.
Let's talk, oh God. You know, I didn't win the Powerball last night. I had the Powerball.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So I get another free ticket. And when I win in a couple of days, I'm building that roundabout with my own money, and I'm going to sit out there in the middle of the damn thing, and I'm on direct traffic. So we're not going to talk about whether we need a roundabout or don't need a roundabout, because the roundabout has been disparaged. But there is a serious issue right now before the city council. Something that happened between the city and the county 50 years ago, where they agreed to maybe, you know, do this and this would happen. Some people are now saying, well, wait a minute. I mean, can we really be bound by some agreement that was made 50 years ago by a then Adams County Board and by a then Quincy City Council? And weigh in on that, Mayor Mike Trope.
Sure. So legally, we had the city attorneys take a look at that, and that was properly passed by the city council. It was executed by the then sitting Mayor Nicholson, and the same thing happened at the county, that it was properly approved by the county board and signed off. So it is a legitimate, you know, document and a legitimate agreement. Let's talk about the 48th and State intersection. Okay, based on the traffic flow, it's not a want, it's a need. It's the busiest intersection throughout the city based on traffic counts that is not improved. Okay, the difference between doing a four-way stop improvement intersection and a roundabout is negligible. There's really no economic difference between the two. The study from both, you know, public safety officials and road engineers say the traffic flow runs smoother with a roundabout than any kind of an intersection. There's no need to put a lighted intersection at 48th and State. That's even more expensive, okay, to operate going forward. And we don't have the traffic there. There's over 7,000 vehicles that go west of 48th Street daily. 5,100 vehicles that are going east at 48th on State. 6,400 vehicles going north of State. And 6,400 vehicles going through that intersection south. Okay. That intersection is very close to the same traffic count as 24th and Harrison. Now, 24th and Harrison is landlocked. That should have been improved probably 20, 25 years ago. It wasn't. You know, I'm sorry, that ship sailed. But we're at 48th and State have the same traffic count today as that. We also have the benefit that the city taxpayers, okay, will only have to pay 50 cents of every dollar to make that improvement, okay? My position has been anytime the city of Quincy taxpayer can do something for less than a dollar, okay, we absolutely need to take a look at it. And here we have the county that's willing to put in their 50 cents, the city puts their 50 cents, the city has allocated dollars to that project. Okay, so it's not like we have to go find it. We have already allocated funds to fully pay for our piece of that intersection. So it's some aldermen are making the argument that it's a want. And I'm got to say, based on the traffic, based on the accidents that have happened, mainly on the south side of 48th Street between State Street and John Wood, the number of accidents that we have on an annual basis. I think those are factors that have to play into what roads should the city focus as a priority. And so for all those reasons, I believe 48th and State intersection needs to be improved. I'm less concerned if it's a four-way stop sign intersection or if it's a roundabout.
But what it is now is a four-way stop sign. So unless you add lanage...
Well, it is. So that's part of what you're doing is widening it. That's why the county went out and bought additional property. We also have students that are riding bicycles, walking, or skateboards along 48th Street. There's no sidewalk. There's no shoulder for most of that. It's dangerous. So this road project also includes establishing some sidewalk. It won't connect everything from State Street to John Wood, but it's going to improve and establish some sidewalks for a big part of that. So it's really more of a safety issue. Highway engineers, road engineers will say the roundabout will keep the traffic flowing much faster and safer than a four-way stopped intersection.
Okay, amen. Go for the roundabout. everybody knows I'm a roundabout queen. Okay, I want to ask you about the budget. And God, we're running out of time. It's just so wonderful to talk to you. You speak so, to me, clearly about these issues. Let's talk about the budget. I understand the library asked for a fairly hefty increase in their budget. Am I wrong in that? Or right?
Yeah, no, they have. Their biggest issue, I believe, is their employees. They had a lot of part-time employees, and with the federal minimum wage law taken into effect, that adds a significant percentage increase to their compensation, you know, budget line. So you look at those things, and they are moving for other services to make some people full-time that were part-time, so that adds some additional cost. But honestly, Mary, I can't see a community with all the other assets that Quincy has if we don't continue to fund our library.
So even though police and fire are getting like 3.5% or 4% increases, you think it's justifiable for the library to get that kind of an increase?
Well, you look at the wage scales are completely different, okay? And so when you have entry-level people working at the library, and honestly, if they didn't have the increase, they would have been under the federal minimum wage rules, you don't have a choice but to give a raise. So, I think that part is reasonable. Do they need, my wife goes to the library probably 3 times a week, okay? I will go with her maybe once a week, okay? So we use it, but there are a lot of people, the only way they can get their news and information or even access to internet is by going to the library. And we heard from that during COVID when the library, had reduced hours. So the library staff and the services offered there provide a significant service to our community. And publications, instead of getting subscriptions to all these other things, you can go in and look at whatever newspapers and other publications.
You don't even have to go in. You can probably get it online through the library card. So I was just kind of wondering, because that was a fairly large percentage compared to other departments. So you're in favor of it. How did the alderman feel?
Yeah, well, I think the other side that we're clarifying, PPRT, the personal property replacement tax, over the last few years, the library received an automatic piece of that when Quincy received it, and Quincy received more than was budgeted for the last couple of years. And so sometimes we get dependent on those dollars, okay? We know those PPRT dollars are going to be less, and the library has their own their ability to assess a property levy, tax levy.
They do.
Yes, they do. And so I think where the council is let the library establish that own piece, just like the township has its own levy piece, et cetera. So it's instead of having dollars come out of the general fund at the city to subsidize the library, look, let them tax up to their limit. They get their share of the PPRT. You know, the city's not going to do anything to restrict those dollars. Okay.
Do they have to go to a vote of the people for that to happen, or can they just make that happen?
Two parts. For the initial piece, you can just do that. They don't need a referendum to do it. It's already approved at the state level that they have that power to do it. Their issue, which they have already today, is if my budget is going to go more than 5%, you need to have a public hearing, okay, to defend, you know, why you need 6% instead of 5%. So they would have those same issues.
Okay. Anything else? Because I want you to make sure you talk about what you want to talk about, Mr. Mayor.
Well, two things quickly. One, there was a retirement party for Linda Moore. You know, Linda stepped down as the city treasurer at the end of December. She's been doing some special projects for the city since then, and she's actually going to continue here with some other things that we found out to help our employees and the city really understand the runoff of the health insurance cost from 22 and 23. She's going to be greatly missed when she does finally, you know, walk away, but she's provided some great services, I think done an excellent job as treasurer, and it was nice to see people coming in to thanking her and celebrating, you know, her retirement. So we wish her the best of luck. The other thing, you know, we talked about two of the big issues coming up to the city council with the 48th and State intersection and the water rate increase. The third area, which is, I think, just as critical, is the TIF South discussion. That's going to be coming up in April as well, and that is another area. You look at the benefits of what TIF East and TIF West have done for those districts that they serve, and the TIF South, I'd like to see that as an additional, a third TIF. Even with that, the city property, we would have less than 4% of all properties in all three TIFs. The city and the park district have identical boundaries. The county, the school district, which participates in that, are even bigger, so they will have significantly less than 4% of their, you know, tax base being pushed out into this TIF area. So I think it's a good area. The larger businesses and property owners in the proposed TIF South, you know, they see what's happened in the other two TIFs, and then they drive to their offices and wonder, gee, why can't we do this? So they're really advocating for that. Our public meetings have had extremely strong support of the TIFs and this proposed TIF South. So I do hope that the city council moves forward with it as well.
Okay. Real quick, one more thing. What's happening at 30th and Broadway? There's some new some new things are happening. Can you update us on not just the Mexican restaurant and the workout place, but some other things are happening?
Yeah, so on the south east corner where we had that old, you know, service station apartment that was torn down.
The Sinclair Dino the Dinosaur.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Now I know you. Now I know you and I are old.
Oh yeah, I know.
We remember Dino.
Yes, exactly. Well, there, it's a, and I'm probably going to mess up this specific name, but that's going to be that hula fruit bowl deal. They're building the building on that location. They're going to have a drive up window with that facility, and they're going to have two other retail spaces available. I don't know that they have a tenant for either of those spaces. They may. I just don't know. But that building will be up, and I think the owner is looking that they would be open sometime even in June.
Now, what's the name of this place?
It's the hula, like a...
Like a girl?
Bowl.
Like a girl dancing hula?
Well, I don't know that she's going to be dancing.
But is it how you spell it? H-O-O-L?
I believe so.
Okay. Or H-U... Well, whatever.
Yeah, and it's going to be a healthy alternative.
Oh, well,
and,
I don't want it then.
She has. you're going to go more with the Krispy Kreme donuts than McDonald's.
Yeah, McDonald's Krispy Kreme. Yeah, that's fine.
And then the other one, Tom Marks bought the 30th and Broadway, the northwest corner, and that building, which was another former service station, I believe a Standard station. That is going to be coming down, and he's going to put up another building like where Verizon and Pincheros is there's going to be a three retailer building built there. And so he's got those building permits and going strong with that. I think Tom's also close with having another retailer go in next to Planet Fitness. So that'll fill up that space. And then he's had some discussions with planning and development recently for a tenant coming into the former Sears building. So we hope to have even, you know, more announcements on our retail sector here this summer.
Wow, that's exciting. Thank you very much, Mayor Mike Trope. As always, a pleasure to talk with you. We've got to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative, see what's happening up there. And thank you very much. Boy, Don O'Brien, we're going to have to change your time. In fact, I'm announcing right today.
Yes.
We've run out of time for Don O'Brien today for just a little bit, but we're going to have the full Mary Griffith Show tomorrow featuring Don O'Brien. So today we're going to hit some highlights for the Better Business Bureau. I must have had 25 scam reports that I've received since you were here last from the Better Business Bureau.
There's been a lot of stuff going on.
So tomorrow Don's going to come back because we're shortchanging him today, but we had to talk to the mayor about all these things that are going on. So, Don, I'm going to let you kind of hit the highlights. What do you want to talk about?
Let's focus a little bit today on our scam tracker risk report.
Yes.
And then we can talk about all the various other scams and stuff that are going on tomorrow. But our BBB scam tracker is a free... Who doesn't like free? It's a free tool that you can find online. And for those of you who aren't online, you can call me in my office and you can say, hey, I want to know about this scam and I'll help you out because I know you have some listeners that don't. I really enjoy it when I speak to people who aren't online, kind of like you. You're one of those folks.
Because it makes you realize not everybody understands what I'm talking about.
Correct. And I applaud them because they don't get up. I'll talk to consumers who will call me and they say, well, I don't have an email address. And I said, oh gosh, you don't know how much I envy you because you know, as you know, because you have to have one for your job here. You know what can land in there. But anyway, we have something online called our scam tracker at BBB.org. You can go on to your favorite search engine and you can type in BBB scam tracker, and it'll take you right there. And it is exactly what it says it is. It's a way for people to report scams that they either are caught in or they are targeted in. So we've had this since 2015, and we take in tens of thousands of scam reports a year, not only in St. Louis, but the Better Business Bureau is throughout North America. We have 5 or 6 bureaus in Canada, and we have 95 or 100 in the U.S., so our St. Louis region, which I'm a part of, our Quincy office is part of the St. Louis BBB, we're just one small segment of the entire North American BBB network. So we have all these scam reports coming in. So our International Association of Better Business Bureaus is headquartered out in Washington, D.C., Alexandria. So every year they take all that information. We ask certain things. We ask certain data about how old you are, if you're a veteran, if you're a student, you know, how much you lost, what your scam was, all that data they take together and they make a risk report. So we just released that earlier this month, and there's a couple of interesting little tidbits in there, one of which is that online shopping scams are still the most reported scam. About 42% of all reports to BBB Scam Tracker were on online shopping, something that Mary does not do, and maybe some of you don't. But not the riskiest scam. The riskiest scam now is investments or cryptocurrency scams. And we are now finding young people, not only are young people ages 18 to 34 is how we've grouped them, not only are they more likely to be scammed, but they're even losing more money than older consumers. And for many years, Mary, older consumers, because older consumers have more money than younger consumers, they would lose more in scams. But that's not the case anymore because of these. The top scams are now these investment and cryptocurrency scams. Employment scams are now number 2. People are losing on a median average of
to almost $2,000 in employment scams. And again, those seem to affect younger consumers because those are the ones who are using online online places to try to find jobs. And then online purchase scams are number three. So, and these investment scams, these cryptocurrency scams, people are losing on a median average of $3,800 when they get scammed. So if you fall into if you have anybody ask you to pay for something or invest something in cryptocurrency, you really need to know what you're doing before you make that leap.
It's so fascinating because I was talking with my godson. I'll out him, I guess, not by name, but, you know, there is a literally 40-year differential in our ages. And we were just talking about investments, and, you know, he has a degree in finance, so you would think he would understand this. And he was bemoaning how he wished he'd have gotten into Bitcoin sooner because Bitcoin that you could buy for $1, you know, whenever is now worth, you know, whatever. And I said, how can you even think that's a good idea? And of course, I'm using Bitcoin as maybe a generic term. I think there actually is a thing called Bitcoin.
Correct.
I don't want to slam one company, but I'm just like, oh, honey, you know, be careful. Don't put, he goes, I wish I had, I'd put all my money in that. I'm like, oh.
You know, there are some safe ones, and from what I've been told by people who I talk to, Bitcoin is
but how
one
can
of those
it be
safer
safe?
Ones.
How could it be safe? Because even my stockbroker will tell me, I can't guarantee the stock market won't crash
true,
and you won't lose your money. I mean, it's an investment.
It is.
And it can be risky. And the better reward, the better risk. I mean, the higher the risk. So these things just fascinate me that these young kids are so computer tech savvy that they think if it's just traded any other way or if, you know, it's something that, you know, gray hair like me doesn't understand that it must be great. It must be true. I'm going to become a billionaire, you know, in 2 years.
They're using cryptocurrency now as part of their get-rich-quick schemes. And I know that we talked recently, maybe it wasn't last month or maybe the month before, about a young woman in Quincy who put $500 into a crypto account, was told it grew to $4,000. And when she went to go take her money out, the company ghosted her. She didn't have access to that wallet without going through the company. And she actually got off easy because what happens in a lot of times is your initial investment, quote-unquote, grows, and then when you go take your money out, the quote-unquote company says, oh, well, wait a minute, before you can access those funds and we give them back to you, you need to pay taxes on them. Well, that makes sense. Everybody has to pay taxes, so use up another $1,000 or $1,200 to them. Oh, well, we had a lawyer get involved, too, and had to look over this, so that's going to be some legal fees of $300 or $400 or $500, whatever, here. Oh, sure, well, I'm going to still make money on this whole deal. And again, it's the Wild Wild West. There's hardly any regulation of it. If somebody accesses your cryptocurrency wallet and takes whatever funds you have in there, they're gone. It's not as if they're not federally insured, like if, you know, we've got
the bank.
Banks right down the street from us. If the bank here on the corner of 5th and Main gets robbed, well, guess what? The money's insured. It's okay. So again, it's just something that younger people, you just be careful. If you have a younger one in your life, like you do, make sure you talk to them about that.
Be a little bit more careful. Don O'Brien will be back tomorrow because, wow, scams going door to door with solar. There's everything going on, and we want Don to tell us all about it. So thank you, Don, for agreeing to come back tomorrow. Don O'Brien with the Better Business Bureau. Stay tuned tomorrow for the Mary Griffith Show.